What is a Jew? That is the question we're focusing on this morning. What is a Jew? Someone might say, oh, that's relatively simple. A Jew is someone who believes the Jewish religion, Judaism. But that isn't true. There are atheistic Jews. There are skeptical Jews. So it isn't as simple as that. Another person might say, well, a Jew is someone who lives in Israel. But there are almost as many Jews living in the United States of America as there are Jews living in Israel. And of course, there are Palestinians and people of other nationalities. So that won't do it either. Another attempt would be this. A Jew is someone who has descended physically from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But that doesn't work either. Because if an Eskimo commits or converts to Judaism, he becomes a Jew. And around the 9th century, a group of people called the Khazars in southwest Russia and the surrounding region converted to Judaism, especially the leaders and the nobility, and scholars vary as to how many of the people. But then they joined the Jews, and they were Jews, even though they had no ethnic ties to Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. It's not a simple question to answer, what is a Jew? You could say, well, circumcision. But what about the girls? You could say, well, they wear a skull cap. Well, some of them do, and some of them don't. One Jewish lady in an article in, I think it was the Times a few years ago, said, the key thing about Jews is their commitment to education. She was struggling with the idea, what is it that makes a Jew a Jew? There is, however, one widely used definition of a Jew in the world today. A Jew is one with a Jewish mother. Not necessarily a Jewish father, but if you have a Jewish mother, then you're a Jew. And a Jew also is someone who has officially converted to Judaism. It has to be official. But even this is problematic, because most Jews, or at least many Jews, would exclude Messianic Jews, arguing that even though someone may be born to a Jewish mother, as soon as they believe in Jesus, they're no longer Jews, they're Christians. Now, we've been speaking here about the common practical understanding of Jews. And it's a complicated subject. But what about the spiritual and theological meaning of a Jew? What does God see and identify as a true Jew? And here we're not just playing word games. We're talking about gospel truth, something tied up with the gospel and occurring here in Romans, the great epistle and book of the Bible, specifically dealing with the gospel of God. This issue, who is a Jew spiritually, savingly, is part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's part of knowing God as one of his true covenant people. So listen to our text this morning, Romans 2, verses 28 and 29, answering the question, what is a Jew? Quote, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. Notice with me the structure of this text. Verse 28 makes a statement about a Jew. He is not a Jew which is one outwardly. Second half of the text makes a statement about circumcision. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. And verse 29 is similar. It makes a statement about the Jew and then a statement about circumcision. But he is a Jew which is one outwardly. And then circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter. So putting that together, verse 28 says negatively what a Jew is. Jews aren't this. Negatively what circumcision is. Circumcision is not this. And then verse 29 is positive. It says a Jew is this, and circumcision is this. That's the structure of the text, and it will become more plain as we look at it more fully later. So we're answering then the question, what is a Jew? We're answering this theologically, spiritually, inwardly. What is a true Jew? And from verse 28, we're going to see, first of all, the wrong answer, what a Jew is not. And then we're going to look at the right answer from verse 29. And then we're going to draw two important applications. And I remind you, this is gospel here. This is part of our salvation. I say then that most people today do not know who are Jews. Most people today do not recognize a Jew when they see one and would not know how to recognize a Jew if they were to see one. Unbelievers don't know. Many professing Christians don't know either. Many who call themselves Jews are not Jews, and some who do not call themselves Jews are Jews. Now you might think that's double talk. That might puzzle you. Keep listening, and it will become clear. Listen to what the apostle says in verse 28. He is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. There you have it. Being a Jew is not having your hair curled down from your temples. That's outward. That doesn't make someone a Jew. Being a Jew is not having a name like Cohen. Cohen is from the Hebrew word for priest. Being a Jew is not going to the synagogue. Being a Jew is not having bar mitzvah for boys when they're about 13, which phrase means that they become a son of the commandment. Being a Jew is not filling in the census form in the religion column or nationality column, Jew or Judaism. Because he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. That's a strong negative. He's not one at all. And none of the things that I have mentioned individually or collectively make someone a Jew. And by Jew, I reiterate, I mean someone spiritually, truly, really. There might be one thing, though, that someone might reckon would especially constitute someone as a Jew. A male someone. Namely, circumcision. Circumcision is physically the removal of the male foreskin, which symbolizes the putting off of the flesh and sin, and hence dedication to Jehovah. Circumcision is a rite of initiation, bringing you in to something. It's a rite of initiation which was laid down by God and given to Father Abraham for all of his male descendants and followers in the covenant. But the text says, he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. That circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, is just a physical removal of some skin. It is not real, inward, spiritual circumcision, the circumcision which really counts with God. Now look with me at Romans 2, verses 17 through 20. Behold, thou art called a Jew. But you're actually not really a Jew, but you're called it. You rest in the law, as the Jews do. God gave us the law, and that shows his particular favor for us. Thou makest thy boast in God. All other nations don't know God. We do. He spoke to us in Sinai. Verse 18, and knowest his will. We have the Ten Commandments. We have the Torah. And to prove us the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, that is, with the Old Testament, we can determine, we can judge what is good and what is bad. And therefore, verses 19 and 20, you are confident as a Jew that you are a light to those who are in darkness, a teacher to those who are ignorant, and an instructor of the foolish. But, verse 28 says, he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. And all of this can be applied by analogy to Christians. We can change that word Jew to Christians like this. He is not a Christian, which is one outwardly. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than spending the night in a stable would make you a horse. Listening to preaching, carrying a Bible, saying your prayers, attending catechism, does not make you a Christian. These things have their place and function. They're even commanded. But they don't make anybody a Christian. And you mustn't think that these things do, because then you're deceived. They don't. Neither is that baptism, which is outward in the flesh. Baptism being the New Testament equivalent of circumcision. Water comes upon you in the name of the triune God at the hands of an ordained minister in a church service. But this is only a sign and seal, a sacrament of real baptism, the one that counts, the washing away of our sins by the blood and spirit of Jesus Christ. Water baptism does not make a person a true Christian. And you must look for something else for the forgiveness of sins that makes you right with the living God. So now you see the wrong answer. He is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, or he is not a Christian, which is one outwardly, neither is that baptism which is outward in the flesh. Which means being a true Jew or Christian is not a matter of natural descent from Christian or Jewish parents, whether male or female. It's not a matter of a mere profession or external symbol or sacrament, circumcision or water baptism. He is not a Jew. He is not a Christian. It is not circumcision. It is not baptism. That's verse 28. Moving to the right answer, Romans 2 verse 29 makes four positive points about what a true Jew really is, spiritually speaking. He is a Jew, which is one inwardly. Inwardly. Because, of course, it can't be a matter of externals on the outwardly, because God knows our inmost thoughts, and he's not interested in how we look and what our appearance is. And circumcision is that of the heart, and that's always what circumcision was. And that's what that physical rite of circumcision pointed to. Way back in the law of Moses, this was clearly stated. I'm thinking here especially, but not exclusively, of Deuteronomy 30 verse 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart, not foreskin, heart, and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. God, not man, circumcises, and God, not man, circumcises the heart. That's real circumcision. The third statement in verse 24 is this: circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter. Now, spirit here could mean, and commentators differ, it could mean either the new nature or the Holy Spirit, and whichever it is, it doesn't make any essential difference for us here. He is a Jew, who has a new nature, being born again. He is a Jew who is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, because the new nature and the indwelling of the Spirit are essentially the same thing, because we're born again and granted a new nature or Spirit by the Holy Spirit. And then fourth, verse 29 concludes, whose praise is not of men, but of God. And this word praise is a play on words, because the word Jew comes from the tribe Judah. Even in English they're similar. Jew is someone related to Judah. And Judah means praise. And if you looked at the relevant passages in Genesis 29 verse 35 and 49 verse 8, at the naming of the baby Judah and the blessing of Judah in chapter 49, praise is mentioned. Jew comes from Judah, which means praise. Whose praise is not of man or men, but of God. So being a true Jew, therefore, has something to do with praise. More especially, it has to do with who praises you. And it's not of men. So if a man praises you and says, oh, you're a wonderful Jew, that doesn't make you a Jew. In fact, man can't make anyone a Jew at all. It's God's praise that makes someone a Jew. And here's the idea. God, as the righteous and holy one, judges us, always. And God, because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for us, approves of us. That's his judgment. Approval. And when God approves of us as his judgment, and he tells us of his approval, by speaking through the word, by the Spirit, Jehovah speaks well of us. He commends us. He says, you're my children. You're righteous. You are holy. I love you. I sent my son to die for you. He's saying, in effect, I approve of you. I'm praising you as elect and beloved sons and daughters in Jesus Christ. That's what a real Jew is. A spiritual, inward Jew, a Jew of the heart, one whom God praises and commands. This word of God in Romans 2, 28 and 29, un-Jews, many physical Jews. It un-Jews, very obviously, the Pharisees in Christ's day. Why? Because they sought praise of men. And it says, he is a Jew whose praise is not of men, but of God. And you'll remember from the Sermon on the Mount, the first half of Matthew chapter 6, that they gave their alms, that is their charitable donations, to be seen of men. They did their prayers to be seen of men. They fasted to be seen of men. Therefore, they are not true Jews. They wanted the uppermost seats at the feasts. They made broad their phylacteries and so on to be seen of men. How can you believe, Jesus said, if you receive honor from men and not from God? This word, un-Jews, the Pharisees. And they aren't the only physical Jews to be un-Jewed by this word of God. Think of those whose carcasses fell in the wilderness wanderings. Those who lived in unbelief and always grumbled. Those who didn't enter into the promised land. They weren't really Jews. That was why they didn't enter into the promised land. And you can think of individuals in the Old Testament. The likes of Absalom, who usurped the throne of Israel and sought to kill David, the man after God's own heart. He was circumcised physically, but not inwardly, and of the heart. He wasn't really a Jew. Outwardly, yes, for what that's worth, but basically, spiritually, inwardly, the way it counts, he was no more a Jew than a man in China. And you could add to that such figures as rebellious Korah, traitorous Ahithophel, idolatrous Jeroboam, and Judas Iscariot. And his name, Judas, is from Judah, which means praise. He was even called a Jew by his mother, so to speak, but he betrayed the Son of Man with a kiss, and so he wasn't really a Jew at all. And what I'm explaining to you from Romans 2 isn't just some aberrant theology from the Apostle Paul, as if the Bible could contradict itself in one place or another, but this is what is taught in the Old Testament itself. This is Ezekiel 13, verse 9. God here is speaking about the false prophets. Mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel. They're not my people, they're not really Israel at all. Neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, because they're not really Jews or Israelites. And ye shall know that I am the Lord God. We have the same thing in Psalm 73, verse 1, which we're going to sing later. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a pure heart. And that last clause, even to such as are of a pure heart, defines whom Asaph means by Israel, those who have a pure heart. And then in the psalm, he contrasts true Israel, who are of a pure heart, with the wicked, who heap up riches to themselves and live in their sins. And these wicked, who lived that way, were ethnically Jews. But God is good to Israel, those who are of pure heart, and not these other ones, because he's casting them down into destruction by setting them in slippery places. And we don't have to just look at the Pharisees and most of the Jews in Christ's day, or to look into the pages of the Old Testament. Most physical Jews today are not truly Jews at all. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, whose circumcision is that of the heart and of the spirit, not the letter, who is praised of God and not of men. So can you then give me examples of true spiritual Jews? And of course there were many physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in the Bible who were also spiritual true Jews. David, the man after God's own heart, was circumcised in the heart. Godly Hannah, faithful Jeremiah, and those listed, for example, in the great roll call of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. But there are other groups who are true spiritual Jews. There are also Gentile converts in biblical times. Rahab from Canaan was spiritually a Jewess. Ruth the Moabitess, circumcised in the heart. Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, he was a Jew, because he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart and in the spirit and not the letter. And we can widen it out, not just believing ethnic Jews in the Old Testament and the Gentiles were brought in the Old Testament, but believers before Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, before historically Israel became a nation, before they were called Jews, these people were Jews too. Abel was a spiritual Jew. Noah, Shem, for example, because verse 29 says, he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart, and they were circumcised in the heart, therefore they are spiritual Jews. Moving to New Testament times, in the first century AD, there were Jewish Christians, like the apostles, excepting now Judas, Barnabas, Saul, also called Paul, And in fact, and this is part of God's gracious promise, there has always been a believing Jewish remnant throughout the whole New Testament age. I'm thinking of a man, for instance, like Alfred Edersheim, who wrote a famous book about the life and times of the Messiah and books about the temple, and who was a minister in the Church of England in the 1800s and so on. And there were many others. But the largest category of true spiritual Jews is actually Gentile Christians. Numerically, Gentile Christians make up the largest group of spiritual Jews. The Christian church, that is the elect among professing Christendom, the church invisible, is now and has always consisted of spiritual Jews, whether ethnically they're Jews or ethnically they are Gentiles. A new believer have come to church this morning to worship God, and now also you hear this, you're a Jew. You're a Jew. And you don't have to change your hairstyle, and you don't have to get out a prayer mat, and you don't have to adopt all sorts of Jewish customs. You are a Jew. And this congregation, more specifically, those who believe in this congregation, because there are always a few hypocrites mixed in with the true church, is a congregation of Jews. Spiritual Jews. The Jews that count. And all those redeemed and called in all ages and lands, whatever their nationality, are truly Jews, because he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. Circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Now, these last two verses of Romans 2 are not unique in giving New Testament believers, whether Jews or Gentiles ethnically, it's not unique in giving to us the names of the Old Testament people of God. Now we've seen that Gentiles who believe in Jesus are spiritual Jews. Jew, the word Jew comes from Judah. And who was Judah's father? Judah's father was Jacob, or Israel. And the Bible doesn't only spiritualize, in inverted commas, I'm using that word because none better commends itself to me at present. The Bible not only spiritualizes Jews by saying they're those who are Jews in their heart by believing the gospel of Christ. The Bible doesn't only spiritualize Jews, it spiritualizes Israel. Who is the real Israelite? We'll go back to Asaph. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. And not these wicked people who are living only for this world, who happen to be ethnic Jews. That's the real Israel, everybody who has a clean heart. What did the Lord Jesus say to Nathanael first time they met, according to John 1 verse 47? Behold, an Israelite indeed. Meaning there were other sorts of Israelites. Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. That's an Israelite. Somebody who just says what they believe and doesn't hide and put up doors and tell lies, that's an Israelite indeed. In whom there is no guile. And that's a quotation from Psalm 32, which says that those who are justified by faith alone and who are blessed by not having their sins imputed to them, they are people without guile. Because they openly expose themselves to God as naked and wretched and undone and say, I have no righteousness. I need the righteousness of God by faith alone. Those who are justified by faith alone are automatically those without guile. And they are Israelites indeed. And Paul teaches this same thing later in the book of Romans. They are not all Israel which are of Israel. They're not all Israel which are of Israel. Absalom was only of Israel, but he's not really Israel. In Galatians 6 verse 16, Paul addresses the churches of Galatia, and indeed all believers, whether Jew or Gentile, and he calls them the Israel of God. And I could say a lot more about that passage. And premillennial dispensationists would probably want to argue about it. But we haven't time now. We are called the Israel of God. To go a step further, the Old Testament people of God are not only called Jews after Judah and Israel after Judah's father, they're also called the children of Abraham. And Abraham was the grandfather of Israel, which Israel was the father of Judah. And guess what? Like the name Jew or Israel, the name children of Abraham is also spiritualized and applied to all believers, whether Jew or Gentile, who have the faith of Abraham, who believe like Father Abraham, and who live like Father Abraham. And John the Baptist understood this. The unbelieving Pharisees and Sadducees came to his baptism, and John had sharp words for those vipers. Think not to say within yourselves, because I know this is what you're thinking, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able to raise up of these stones children unto Abraham. And God did that in effect. God raised up of those stones children unto Abraham by dispossessing the unbelieving Israelites and by saving the Gentiles. The God who could make children of Abraham out of stones did that in saving the Holy Catholic Church. That was John's teaching. You're not the sons of Abraham at all. You're vipers. The brood of vipers. And Christ taught the same thing in John 8. The unbelieving Jews claimed to be Abraham's children. Christ said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. And now you're about to stone me. That wasn't what Abraham would have done. Abraham rejoiced to see my day and was glad. You're not the children of Abraham. You are the children of your father, the devil. And what does Paul say in Romans 9 verse 7? Neither because they are the seed of Abraham physically, are they all children spiritually. We're the children of Abraham, all who believe. And that's what Paul teaches in Galatians 3. If ye, whether Jew or Gentile, if ye are Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We are the seed, the children, the sons and daughters of Abraham. All believers, whether Jew or Gentile, all who trust in Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead are called Jews, Israel, and children of Abraham in the Word of God. And we're also called, in our text, the circumcision, the true spiritual circumcision. He is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is of the heart and the Spirit. And Paul makes this point emphatically against the Judaizers and false teachers who may have threatened the church at Philippi in Philippians 3 verse 3. We are the circumcision, which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and place no confidence in the flesh. That makes you circumcision. And he said this over against these false teachers whom he calls dogs and concision and mutilation. Those who were physically Jews but denied that Jesus was the Messiah and that righteousness was in him alone. They're dogs. They're mutilation. We are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ and place no confidence in the flesh because we know we're sinful and depraved and need mercy. In Colossians 2 verse 11 he states, in Christ we are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. In other words, the good news for you this morning, though you mightn't have expected that you were going to hear this, is that you are a Jew. Now don't think whatever thoughts you might have about the Jewish nation, whether good or bad, I mean in the 21st century, we're not interested in that. We're not interested in anti-Semitism and spreading hatred of one nation and not that sort of thing at all. But we are the spiritual Jews. the spiritual and true Israel, the inward children of Abraham, and the real circumcision. And I could, and some of you will be glad to hear that I'm not going to, but I could pull up many other scripture texts. We haven't the time now to say that people of God, the term given to the Jews in the Old Testament, people of God, is given to believe in Jesus. I could look at other terms like covenant people. You're the covenant people. The diaspora, that is the dispersed ones, the scattered ones. We saw that in our Bible study in 1 Peter chapter 1, the first couple of verses. You are the diaspora, the Gentiles and Jews scattered through all the earth who believe in Jesus Christ risen from the dead. All those terms are applied to us. And the first important application of the truth regarding the true identity of Jews in Romans 2, 28 and 29 flows from the context which concerns justification by faith alone. These two verses in this passage are teaching us that ethnic and religious Jews are lost and must be saved in Christ alone, and that absolutely nothing they can do or nothing that they are can save them. No circumcision, no religious rites, no keeping of the law, because he's not a Jew who is one outwardly, and circumcision is not outward in the flesh. He must be justified by faith alone in Christ alone if he is to be saved. Just like the Gentiles. Jesus is the only way to get to heaven for Jew and Gentile. Romans 3 verse 19. We have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. And the last few verses of Romans 3 teach that Jews and Gentiles both need justification in the cross of Jesus Christ. There is no special route to heaven for Jews. They are not saved through some Abrahamic covenant or covenant with Moses apart from Jesus Christ, as many of the larger churches in our land are angling for, and the Church of Rome is dipping into as well. No, there is one mediator between God and man. He is the way and the truth and the life, and no man gets to the Father but by him. And for us, the religiosity of professing Christians is of no avail for our justification. Our works, our baptism, our piety does not reckon us righteous before God, because only the cross of Jesus Christ, only his spotless life is 100% righteous, and that is received, known, and rejoiced in by faith alone. Isaiah 45:25 says, in the Lord, Jehovah, shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Ethnic Jews, ethnic Gentiles, in the Lord shall all the seed of Israel, that's us, shall be justified, declared righteous, and shall glory. The second important application of this truth from Romans 2, 28 and 29, the second truth concerns ecclesiology, which big word simply means the doctrine of the church, the ecclesia. This is something to say about the church. The Old Testament and the New Testament do not speak, contrary to dispensationalism, do not speak of two radically different people. There's the Jews over here in the Old Testament, there's the church in the New Testament, big rift between them. They don't speak of two radically different people with two different eternal destinies. So that the Jews will be in earth and we'll be in heaven. Nothing of the sort at all. There is one people of God and one church in all ages and in all lands. And they are the spiritual people of God. In the heart. Inwardly. By the Spirit. So that all believers, whether ethnic Jews or Gentiles, are spiritual Jews, spiritual Israel, the true children of Abraham, and the circumcision. This means that it's us that believe in Jesus who have spiritual kinship with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the believers in Old Testament Israel. We're with Abraham. Abraham is our friend. I have the communion of the saints with Isaac and Jacob and David and Malachi and all the rest. We're one. And I have this not because I'm an honorary physical Jew, not because I wear a skull cap, not because I seek salvation from keeping the law, not because I'm Judaizing and want to get a Jewish prayer shawl and I'm affecting all things Jewish. I'm a friend of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob because I'm looking for all of my salvation in the righteousness and cross of Jesus Christ alone. And now, I speak to you as a congregation of Jews, Israelites, and sons and daughters of Abraham. The Old Testament, the first 39 books of the Bible, as well as the last 27, is your book. It's the history of your friends, your soulmates, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and their spiritual descendants. The God revealed there, Jehovah, is the one that you worship. Exactly the same as the God they worship. When the Old Testament calls the people of God beloved, the apple of Jehovah's eye, that's you. That's us. And all the promises of the Old Testament, just like all the promises of the New Testament, are yours, because all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus, and you're in Christ Jesus. And so they're yours too. And yours is the inheritance of the new heavens and the new earth, which is given only to true spiritual Jews in Israel, the covenant people of God. Because he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God.